be honest, man, because everybody got different teams, and it's a lot of Cowboys fans. So I really don't have trash talking with a lot of my teammates or anything like that. Because, a lot of people switch teams when the players switch. So they don't really got a legit team like I do.
The Cowboys are currently in first place in the NFC East and can have a pretty commanding lead with a win tonight. But that part is good. But be honest, John, how much have you enjoyed seeing the Eagles and also the Washington football team and also the Giants stumble out of the gate so far this season?
Repeat that question, please. I'm sorry.
Today's opening tip. John Wall was playing spades during an interview yesterday. Paul, what was the most distracted you've been during an interview?
What was that?
I mean, really? Really, Paul? the lack of professionalism.
Oh, we're on air.
Yeah. All right. Good Lord. Welcome to The Jump. I'm George Sedano, in for Rachel Nichols, our fearless leader. Today I'm joined by, now paying attention, 2008 Finals MVP Paul Pierce and senior writer, the Hall of Famer, the GOAT, Jackie Mack. Coming up, 2020 Coach of the Year and 2019 NBA champion Nick Nurse stops by to discuss all things Raptors and his new book, which is now in stores. But first, it's almost decision time for MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo. He certainly will be offered a Supermax extension by the Bucks this offseason, and his decision to sign it or not will be one of the most interesting storylines to follow. So, Paul, we'll take a look at some of the projected contract figures here. There's a lot of coin there. But do you believe Giannis should sign the Supermax?
Listen, the Supermax is 200 and what? Man, without question, you play all your life to get to this point to say you can secure that type of money for generations of your family. Yes, you do it. At first, I know he's competitive. He wants to win a championship. But a championship is not guaranteed, ladies and gentlemen. You can say, I'm going to go here, sign for less, for a chance to win a championship and never win. But this guaranteed contract in your face, $221 million, that's guaranteed right there. You got to take that.
Jackie?
That's a very interesting approach, and I understand where you're coming from 100%. But if I'm Giannis, I've been loyal to the Milwaukee Bucks. I've told them I intend on being with them, but I also have one more year before I have to make this seismic decision. Now, I understand the danger of injury. That's something that hangs over all players' heads, and Paul can speak to that, of course, much better than I can. But if I'm Giannis, I'm keeping all my options open. And I'm going to do my very best to win a championship for the Bucks again next season. And then I'm going to make the biggest decision of my life.
I'm with you, Jackie. Like, granted, injury is always a factor here. But you've bet on yourself to this point, right? Like, I feel like you need to continue betting on yourself. And, Paul, championships aren't guaranteed, but neither is his talent. And I don't think that anyone should take that for granted. He's still a player who's growing. He's still a player who can get better, and he's already a two-time MVP. So I think if you're him, you've got kind of the deck stacked in your favor. So you should be putting pressure on the Milwaukee Bucks and that organization to surround you with the best talent possible.
Well, they're going to try to do that anyway. I mean, come on. We got a generational talent. They're going to try to get better. But like I said, 220.
But, I mean, they traded Malcolm Brogdon, Paul. I mean, that's not to me a team. That's a team that's looking to cut some corners a little bit. Like, if I'm Giannis, I'm not happy about that. I'm still not happy about it.
Where can he go? Where can he really go and guarantee a championship? I mean, come on.
I mean, as a free agent, Jackie, I'm sure there's a number of spots, right?
Yeah, let's start with the Miami Heat. And, I think everything that Giannis decides has an effect on every other team in the league. For instance, Bam Adebayo is up for a very lucrative extension in Miami, and I'm sure they're going to take care of him. But let's talk about, some other of these free agents. Are the Miami Heat going to go out and get them this year? Or are they going to save all their money and all their cap space for next year when they have a shot at Giannis?
Well, what I can say is, and I'm not reporting anything, so don't aggregate me. What I can say is, knowing the history of one Patrick Riley, he likes to go big or go home. So my assumption is he will find a way to remain as competitive as they were this past season while also keeping that cap space for the big whale in someone like Giannis Antetokounmpo. All right. So as the reigning MVP and the defensive player of the year, players like Giannis don't come around too often, as we've discussed. So, Jackie, our Tim Bontemps reports that the Bucks don't plan to trade Giannis even if he doesn't sign the extension. Is that something they should consider, though?
I wouldn't, and I think Tim's reporting spot on here. I think that ownership group says, okay, if he doesn't sign that that Supermax extension, we've got to make our team different. We've got to make it better. We need to exploit the pick and roll better. We need to go out and get personnel that will help us do that. We need to get players that will space the floor. That's why you keep hearing Chris Paul's name associated with the Milwaukee Bucks, because he really would help them in many of those things I just discussed, not to mention that he's still one of the top defenders in the league, even at his age. So I think the Bucks, if he doesn't sign it, if Giannis doesn't sign it, and I don't believe that he will, I think you're going to see them go out and make a big deal.
Yeah, I'm in the same lane as Jackie. I mean, you don't trade a generational talent like that. You try to work it out. You try to get better internally or through trade, and just play your cards and see what happens. You know, who knows? What if they win a championship that year? I believe he signs a long-term deal.
Right.
Even if they don't, they'll have the summer. Maybe they can search for a sign and trade if he says, I'm not coming back. But there's no way I'm moving early on this if he doesn't sign an extension.
And let's just say that the worst case scenario happens, right, and that he does leave for another team. If you're the Bucks, you can always just say, hey, he left us. We didn't trade him. If you trade him, I think the fan base turns against you, Jackie, don't they?
Oh, 100%. And remember, too, Giannis is being – I consider Giannis a very genuine person when he says that he wants to make it work in Milwaukee. He has a great relationship with the ownership group. Obviously, is very close with Mike Budenholzer. So when he says that, he means it. And these guys, they're on the clock now to do something to reinvent that team a little bit, because I think Chris Middleton as a number two, that's a lot to ask of him. I think he's much better suited to be your top number three guy instead. So if you just think if you could add someone like Chris Paul, and I don't know if that's going to happen, but boy, that would really help some of the problems that they have.
And you got to wonder if they have the assets to really upgrade. You know, you have Chris Middleton, Bledsoe, you know, guys like Hill. But you have to wonder, it'll be difficult to try to upgrade. You know, when you add in, like, say, a Chris Paul, who's another year older, who has a huge contract, is it going to be worth it? And so you have to ask yourself. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen with the Bucks on trying to get better.
Yeah, if it ends up winning a championship, then it'll be all worth it. I don't think there's any question about it. You have to go all in when you have a player like that. The window is too small. Speaking of great players, former Rockets general manager Daryl Morey took out a full-page ad in the Houston Chronicle thanking everyone in the city for all their support over the years. Morey also made it a point to thank his great player and superstar James Harden for taking the franchise to new heights, writing, quote, James saved my life. So, Paul, what changes for James Harden now, next season, without Daryl Morey and without Mike D'Antoni in Houston?
You know, it's really hard for me to watch James Harden's game and say something's going to change. When you got a guy who's been in the MVP race the last 6-7 years, a top five player, I mean, how do you ask him to change? You know, you have to put better players around him. James is a guy who needs the ball. He's had historical seasons. So how do you – they've won a lot of games. They've been in deep playoff runs. And so how do you ask him to change his style or to what he's been doing? He's been successful at it. At this age, I'm not sure is there anything that's going to change with Harden. I think what's around him has to change.
Jackie?
Well, it's a fair point, Paul, but it's going to be difficult to change what's around him because of the way their contracts are assembled and that roster is assembled. You have so much money tied up in Harden, Westbrook, Eric Gordon, guys who are either at their prime or you could argue even a little past their prime, who make big contracts. They're going to be tough to move. When I watched James Harden, he is such a remarkable player with an incredible skill set. And, of course, he's the best ISO player in the game right now, for sure. But here's the thing. At some point, for instance, when you added Westbrook, you know that Westbrook's not a perimeter threat. So when he drives to the basket, maybe you have to, instead of stay stationary, reposition yourself a little bit. I was going back and looking at some film of James Harden just the other day for a story I'm doing. So many teams give him the right lane because, of course, he's a lefty. Maybe once in a while, instead of shooting the three, you drive the lane and maybe you kick it back out. Now, I understand what you're saying, Paul, in terms of personnel. They could use some guys to space the floor as well. But I think at this point, if James Harden really wants to win it all, maybe he has to make a few adjustments at this point.
Well,
I think he'd be willing to. I don't know.
That's an interesting point, Jackie. And look, there have been a number of people associated with that particular job. Paul, Jeff Van Gundy is one of them. My guess is if Jeff Van Gundy comes in there, he's not going to want to play straight up old school isolation ball that they've played. They're going to want to play a different style. How much of that do you think James is willing to adapt to?
I mean, how do you – this is the thing. He's the best one-on-one player that we've seen in a very long time. How do you take the ball out of his hands and say, James, I don't want you, you know, bringing it up ISO anymore. We want you to play in the post a little more. We want you to come off down screens. How do you ask a player that caliber who's so great at what he does to change some things up? I mean, like I said, he's been successful. You know, I don't know how this team gets better. You know, you have Westbrook who came into the bubble, probably not his full 100%. James, I mean, look at his game. At what area of his game do you say do something different when he's great at what he does?
Yeah, but moving the ball, I think, is something. I think that, to Jackie's point, right? And Jackie, I'll let you finish here. They get too stagnant, I think, sometimes. Is that fair to say, Jackie?
That's what I was going to say, Paul. It's not that we don't doubt that James Harden is this incredible talent. But at the end of games, when everybody knows the ball is going there, you know how this is. You double and triple team him. The ball's got to move. The ball's got to go elsewhere. And maybe it comes back to you. So that's all I'm saying.
Well, check this out. This style has got him paid over $250 million.
For sure. For sure. Listen, there's no question about that. We're not arguing even the results. But to Jackie's point, I think if you want to win a championship, you got to do – sometimes you got to do things a little different. You got to get out of your comfort zone. Look, you played a certain way. You know, then you had Ray and KG, and things had to change a little bit, didn't they? At least a little bit?
Well, absolutely. But I had other great players around me, and I knew that, you know, when James is that guy,
right?
You know, and every night he's that guy. On my teams, you know, I'll be the guy one night, and then the other guys will be the guy. He's that guy every night, and he has to do what he do for this team to be successful.
All right, let's move on here. Coming up next, Nick Nurse, champion head coach of the Toronto Raptors, joins the show to discuss his new book and how the Raptors surpassed expectations this season. And, of course, life in the bubble. But first, here's a distant replay from this date in 2018. Airplane mode. Check it out.
Guard. They're trying to guard Kimball Walker. Derrick Jones. Oh, my goodness. Word. They call him airplane mode. I asked about his vertical leap, if there's a measurement.
The Jump is brought to you by Burger King. Mix and match your favorites for just $5.
A chance to go up 3-0. Walker dishes. Tice with the dunk. 0.5 left. Series on the line. Ananobi got it off. It goes. OG Ananobi buries a triple at the buzzer.
Did I know I was in when I released it? Yeah.
Welcome back to The Jump. We're now joined by this season's Coach of the Year, Nick Nurse, 2019 champion. Coach, thanks for joining us. I know you saw that shot, okay? And now you've got a chance to see that over and over again. What was it like? Can you take us through what that moment was like for you as he won that game, OG Ananobi?
Well, I was like everybody else. I was pretty surprised that we hit it, right? An amazing pass by Kyle Lowry and fantastic shot, more amazing shot by OG, and it gave us life. I mean, listen, we're going down 3-0. If we don't win that, all of a sudden it's 2-1, and we're back in the series. So it's huge, huge.
Yeah, I'm sure the play, you know, being drawn up was pretty good too, right, Coach? Come on, give yourself at least a little credit.
I stole that from Hubie Brown. You guys probably heard that story. It's off an old Hubie Brown DVD I watched about 13 years ago. So give Hubie – thanks, Hubie, again. That's about the 10th game I've run that play and had some success with it.
No doubt. He's a basketball treasure. So, Nick, you recently released a new book called Rapture. How difficult was your journey to become an NBA champion, and how much of that was in the book?
Well, it's a journey, that's for sure. You know, lots of places, lots of different countries, lots of teams coaching in the backwaters of basketball all over the world. That's what the story's about, man, is kind of enjoying each and every one of those teams and jobs and trying to get better at your craft. And if you get a shot at a big job like the Raptors, you're ready for it.
Coach Paul Pierce here, congratulations on another good year. But, man, talk to me. How was that experience in the bubble in Orlando?
It was okay, Paul. I mean, it was while we were in there, I was doing the best I could to speak positively and get our team to play and give the Celtics credit. They were just a little bit better than we were. But once I got out, I kind of was like, man, it's nice to be out. It was such a double-edged sword, man, because getting out felt good, but getting out meant your season was over, yeah. Which never feels good, right? Never feels good. So there you go.
Yeah, no doubt. And, Nick, look, obviously the goal is to win a championship, as you did the previous season. Your team was one win away from a conference finals appearance despite losing the finals MVP the previous year in Kawhi Leonard. So what was the key to this particular team's success this season?
I just think it was belief, and I think, the year we had Kawhi, we had 22 games without him, and we went 17-5 in those games, so this team knew they could play without Kawhi, as great as he was, and man, we sure missed him, but there was opportunity for these other guys to step up, and they did just that.
Yeah, there's no question, and Coach, according to Woj, the Pacers are hiring your assistant, Nate Bjorkgren. So what is it like to have a tree? Nick Nurse has a coaching tree. What's that like?
Well, I guess it's just like it was in the D-League. Nate was my assistant in the D-League, and he went on to coach Santa Cruz Warriors, and we met in the finals of that game. So here we go again. Very happy for him. Great person, great coach. We've done a lot of basketball together side by side. He certainly deserves the job. The Pacers got a good one.
Now, did you know that he would always become a head coach?
I thought he had a chance. You know, mm-hmm. Paul, I think it's hard. These not a lot of these jobs, and you got to have the right timing and the break fall your way. And fortunately, that happened for me, and now it's happened for him as well.
All right, you got free agency coming back. Fred VanVleet, key unrestricted free agent. How badly do you want him back next season?
Well, I love Freddie, right? I think he's a lot like Kyle, you know, toughness and leadership and smarts and part of our core. You know, he's part of our core, so hopefully we'll get it done with him.
That's awesome.
Coach, as far as the rest of your squad, you know, look, we've talked about it for the last couple of years, the growth of Pascal Siakam. What do you expect from him this next season and what he tries to accomplish this offseason?
Well, let's hope he can continue to grow. He had a great year going. I think the pandemic and the stoppage of play disrupted him a bit. He was really rolling leading into that. Hopefully, he'd be the first to tell you he wasn't quite as good as he wanted to be in the bubble. So maybe that'll motivate him to really get to work here this offseason. He can come back and be ready to go. He's an all-star player. He's got to do that year in and year out. That's the real mark. Can you continue to do it year in and year out?
Absolutely.
Any idea when the next season may start? Do you guys have any idea?
I have some idea. I got some idea. I don't know when that is. I just tell the players that we're going to play. We're going to play sometime, man, so we got to start getting better. Let's get out there and get to work.
The book is Rapture. Make sure you check it out. Nick, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the off season, however long it lasts, and we'll hope to see you again soon. Take care.
Take care, Coach.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks, guys.
All right, coming up next, the Nets are ranked 10th on ESPN's way too early power rankings. Is that too low? We'll discuss that and how their pieces fit on paper next here on The Jump.
Remember that National Vote Early Day is October 24th. For more information, visit IamAVoter.com.
Saturday, UFC 254 on Fight Island at a special early start time. Prelims start at noon Eastern on ESPN2, ESPN Plus, and ESPN Deportes, with the main card on pay-per-view at 2 p.m. Eastern. Our main event is for the undisputed lightweight championship. Khabib or Gaethje, who do you got?
I got Khabib by submission.
All right. To order the main card in English or Spanish, go to ESPN.com/pay-per-view. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm George Sedano in for Rachel Nichols with Paul Pierce, 2008 Finals MVP, and the Hall of Famer Jackie McMullen. Look, no NBA games? No problem. Each week, we're going to bring you some of the top NFL plays from this past weekend and compare them to NBA plays that were in the make or miss format, plays from the past. So let's do it. First up, make elusiveness. Patrick Mahomes scrambles on third down. He was the D a little hezzy there. Ooh. Close to the sticks.
Ooh. Crazy.
But was that better than this nice move from Allen Iverson in 2000, Jackie?
Oh my goodness.
Man, come on. You know what? Mahomes is fantastic. Watched him Monday Night Football. Thought he's amazing. But Allen Iverson, what he does to people. Paul, aren't you glad you never had to guard him? Because your ankles, my ankles, everybody's ankles are broken.
My ankles hurt just watching it. Yeah.
Just saying. Exactly.
Oof. All right, next, Miss Fundamentals. Check out this sidearm sling from Matthew Stafford against the Jags.
Ooh, that was nice.
That was nice. Oof. Let's take another look here. Hello. And then compare it to Jason Kidd's dime, to Kenyon Martin, to Kmart back in 2004.
My goodness. Come on. Ball. Jason Kidd is one of the best passers, point guard, basketball, football the planet has ever seen.
Yeah. So you got Jason Kidd here.
Jason Kidd.
Yeah, that was pretty nice for sure. So let's
Jason
move
Kidd
on.
Is up there with Joe Montana, Steve Young. He's up there with the greatest passers, Tom Brady, all of them.
I'm with you. He probably could have been a great quarterback. By the way, Allen Iverson in our previous clip was a great quarterback in high school. Just to mention, right?
Yes, he was.
All right. Make suplexes. Bengals, Colts. Rockyson. Suplexes. Joe Mixon. Yeah.
That was disrespectful.
Yeah, it really was. Now we flash back to 1997. Wow. P.J. Brown turned Charlie Ward upside down.
Oh, my gosh.
This is the one that caused all sorts of havoc. Goodness. All the Knicks were suspended, basically, over the next several games. Jackie, which one was the better wrestling move?
Let me see.
You know what? I had forgotten about this P.J. Brown, Charlie Ward thing. He flicked him with like one wrist. It looks like a little gnat. But the one thing I kept thinking was, oh no, poor Jeff Van Gundy trying to break up a bunch of seven quarters again.
Yeah.
Not good.
And by the way, P.J. Brown was the NBA Man of the Year, I believe, when he was your teammate, Paul.
Oh yeah, we loved him.
He was.
Yeah. And we loved him. He claimed Charlie Ward went after his knees, so that's why he flipped him over that way. So there you have it. All right, next, Miss Clumsiness. Jets, Dolphins. Frank Gore gets stopped in the backfield, and check out 315-pounder Christian Wilkinson jumping over his teammate to celebrate. Now check this. Look at Nate Robb over Ricky Davis on the block attempt. Paul, which is more impressive?
No way. Wow. Nate Robinson was a dunk champion, but when you got a 350-pound guy jumping over somebody, that's even more impressive.
Yeah, Christian Wilkinson, Jackie, during his time at Clemson, he's the guy that famously did the big split at the end when they won the championship on the stage.
Right.
Oh, man.
I'm just glad he made it over. You wouldn't want that dude landing on your head. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, that was fun. But let's get back to the NBA now. So ESPN's way too early power rankings for 2021 are out. And the Nets are listed as the 10th best team on that list. The two LA teams, the Bucks, the Nuggets, the Mavs are in the top five. The Warriors, Sixers, Celtics, and Heat are also ahead of the Nets. So, Paul, as we take a look at this list, are the Nets too high, too low, or just right?
You know what? At first, when I initially thought it, because you got Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and a list of other talented guys, Dinwiddie, I think they're just about where they should be. When I look around the league and I see the teams in front of them, That's accurate. That's pretty accurate for me.
Wow. I think this is too low. And I understand it's Kevin Durant's coming off an Achilles injury. No, that's the toughest injury for any pro athlete or any athlete, period, to come back from. And there is a recuperation period, even when you're playing. But drop the mic with Kevin Durant on your team, plus Kyrie, plus Caris LeVert, we haven't even seen the best of yet. Now, I'm basing this all on the fact that they're going to re-sign Joe Harris, so I think is also important to them. I think they should be higher.
I'm with Jackie. Keep this up for a second, producer Steve. I'm with her. I think the Heat and the Nets are a little too low. I think that the Sixers should probably be below both teams. I know Doc is there, but, you know, look, their roster construction is still a work in progress around Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. They're best when they've had shooters around them. They don't necessarily have shooters on the roster at the moment outside of Shake Milton. And look, even the Warriors, look, they're champions. They will forever be champions. But they're all in their 30s now. We don't know what they're going to look like.
I'm going to tell you one team that's too low, and that's going to be the Warriors. And watch this. They're going to make a trade for that pick they're going to get, and they're going to bump up.
Okay,
I guarantee you that.
If they make a deal, if they trade that number two pick, who are you moving them for?
I don't know yet. I don't want to put no rumors out there just quite yet. Not right now. It's too early for that.
Come on.
Okay, who would you like to see them get? Like, what kind of player?
They got a chance to get – No, I don't want to say it. Not right now.
Don't give us a name. But who? What kind of a player?
They can get an all-star caliber player with some of the assets they have.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, Jackie, do you see a position for the Warriors where you think that maybe they could use some help?
Well, I mean, I don't know if they want to get a little bigger up front. That might be a possibility. And again, guys, Clay is coming off not only a bad injury, but a long, long, long layoff. It's going to take him a little while to work his way in. But I think they could use a little help up front.
Jackie, as far as the Nets, how do you see them fitting on paper? Do you think that Caris LeVert is still part of the plan? Like, what do you see with their roster? Right.
Well, I think they have to decide if Caris LeVert's going to be their potential third guy. I'm bullish on LeVert. I think you saw what he did in the bubble. I think he's got a lot of talent, and he's had some injuries. We haven't even seen what he can do yet. But if you want to use him as a trade piece and go out to get, you know, an established veteran like, I'm not like Paul, so I'll actually say a name. If maybe you could pry Bradley Beal from the Washington Wizards, who knows? We hear Bradley Beal's name mentioned all the time in trade talks, and we know the Nets like him. But, I, you know, people are worried about, like, well, what about Dinwiddie? I'm like, well, what about him? He, you know, he's a pretty good passer as well. I think he averaged almost 7 assists a game. He'll conform to those two guys. And maybe you make him a super six man and bring him off the bench as a big scorer off the bench. I really like what the Nets have in place.
Yeah, I like their talent. But when you look at their roster, look how many guys actually need the ball. You know, you can't tell these guys to space and be spot-up guys. You know, Irvin needs the ball. Durant, Caris LeVert, Dinwiddie. These guys have all been successful with the ball in their hand. And so the key to all of this is going to be Kyrie Irving. How well can he play on and off the ball? Because they got some talented guys on this team that need the ball. So we have yet to see.
Do they have enough shooting, though, Jackie? I mean, you mentioned Joe Harris, but do they have enough of that?
Well, they need Joe Harris, yeah. Well, I mean, again, can LeVert become a good shooter, a better shooter? I think he can. Dinwiddie, that still remains to be seen. That's not his strongest suit. But, Paul, you mentioned sharing the ball. If I'm Spencer Dinwiddie, I want to be part of a team that might have a chance to go to a championship. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do anything. I'm going to get those two guys the ball all day, every day, and I'm going to average 10, 12 assists a night if I do it the right way.
I do believe they have enough shooting also. You know, Kyrie, he's a streak shooter. Kevin Durant, Joe Harris, you know, these guys, Caris LeVert, these guys can knock down shots. We saw they have more shooting than the Lakers, and the Lakers won the championship. But in the Lakers' defense, right, they got two top five players. Now, Durant is a top five player. Can Kyrie get back in that conversation as, you know, one of the top point guards in the NBA next year?
What concerns, if any, Jack?
Got to stay healthy.
Yeah, what concerns, if any, do you have about the coaching situation there with Steve Nash being a first-time coach?
Well, I think Steve Nash, because he's got a great relationship with Marks, and even probably more importantly, has a great relationship with both Durant and Kyrie from everything we're reading and hearing, I think it's going to be collaborative. I do think if Mike D'Antoni does join him there, that would be great, because I think to have a guy of D'Antoni's gravitas and experience will really, someone that Steve Nash is very close with to lean on, I think that would be a big help. And D'Antoni coaches superstars as well as anyone I've ever seen. So I think he'd be a really huge addition to their staff if that does indeed happen.
Yeah, absolutely. But when you bring in Steve Nash, it's about the comfortability of the players. And you know that Kevin Durant is very comfortable with Steve Nash. We saw Steve Kerr with no coaching. He didn't have much. Did he have any coaching experience?
Right. He was a GM before.
He had none.
And he comes right in and win a championship. The pieces are there for them. Like, the pieces are there for Steve Nash to be successful.
I do like the Mike D'Antoni situation, though, coming on and being an assistant there. That would be fascinating. You basically have the teacher coming to work with the pupil, right? That would be pretty cool. So, all right, coming up next. Yeah. Thunder forward Darius Bazley joins us to discuss taking an internship with New Balance instead of playing college basketball at Syracuse. And, of course, the expectations for the OKC Thunder next season after getting a taste of the playoffs. But first, here's a little best of the best from the jump this particular season. Let's take a look.
To my friend Spike, sit back and watch. Don't say a word.
Being drunk and walking in stilettos, is that what it is?
Frankly,
strengthens his butt.
There's no need for that type of sexy.
Ooh, that's way
up. Mwah, great job, Andy. Great job, Pat.
Man, get the hell out of here. I ain't punching no clock.
You punched a ref.
I didn't try, see? I was like, oh, no, I felt so bad.
Just one of those things that he loses all.
Oh, no, what is going on?
God bless his soul.
He started it.
So finish it. Start it and finish.
Okay.
This isn't In-N-Out where you go to the secret menu and you say, I'm going to get the
Starbucks. Yeah.
Sold them a used Buick that needed a new transmission. How about that?
Why all the damn time?
Right? So I get to go back and check the receipts.
Well, he hasn't had too many postseason games, so that's giving him a lot of longevity as well. But, hey.
The needle.
Shout out to me right there. Man, I fouled him.
Yeah, Shaq bet me $10,000 to do it because I was talking trash.
How good did you get the money?
No. My eye, by the way, is red because the light is glaring off of that chain.
That's way up.
He did not invent that offense, Rachel.
He put in principles to change.
I don't care. I do not care.
Hey. Draymond used to have that title, but you got to be on a winning team.
Oh, I'm sorry. It just got very cold in this studio.
Changing your name today to Rachel Jakes because you're speaking the gospel right now.
Just saying.
Brian, you couldn't do that off the trampoline, huh?
I couldn't do that on a 6-foot.
Did they keep my picture off of there for a reason?
I didn't already put on my retirement 40 pounds.
We're asking if Tim's is a thing in New York?
This is a thing now in New York? I'm a New Yorker. This is a thing. I'm out. Bear with me. I got talent. I'm trying to get better.
He has hair, though.
A lot more hair.
Go give me a nice Cuban cigar.
What? He does pretend.
He said, what? I played for the Knicks?
God bless him.
Best show yet.
We live in a society now where everybody abides by the rules. And people don't even know what the rule is or where it came from. They just abide by it.
These players are worth a ton of money. A ton of money.
These guys are starting this at 15. They don't see a payout till 19.
I told them, I don't even know how to put this right now. I'm not coming to Syracuse.
My mind was just kept racing about environment and what is this kid gonna do for the next 8 months?
But times change, goals change, businesses change.
Guys his age don't even get this.
There aren't that many internships where guys are offered $1 million to be an intern.
He done finessed the whole situation. I like him.
Everybody in the environment is like, you know, I hope that he fail.
This is gonna be a real deal thing. You're coming to work every day.
I don't know, do you wanna sit so I'm not so small compared to you?
If you're coming into this league with ego and entitlement, and your foundation is built upon that, more times than not, the building is going to crumble.
Oh, this is what work really is.
Well, you decide you're going to go into the NBA. That's big boy school. You're saying, evaluate me, and if you think I'm really good, take me. If they don't take you, they're saying, I think somebody's better than you.
That was the brand new trailer for the documentary Gap Year. We're now joined by the subject of that film, Darius Bazley of the Oklahoma City Thunder. I called his first summer league game Paul Pierce, so I'll be able to say I knew him when back then. And thank you for joining us here on The Jump, Darius. As we just saw, you chose to skip college. You took the unconventional route of an internship with New Balance. When you look back at that decision, what were your reasons for choosing that path?
That just was the path that was right for me. You know, a lot went into making the decision, you know, a lot of pros and cons and a lot of conversations with Rich, we just kind of figured like that was the best thing for me. And essentially it was, you know, I grew up a lot and I learned a lot through that whole process.
Hey, Darius, Paul here. You took an unconventional path. Do you feel like that path better prepared you for the NBA?
Oh, most definitely. From the day I graduated high school, I moved to Cleveland. And, you know, I was put in an environment to where I was forced to grow up. From the conversations I had with Rich to being around Brandon every day, I really got to see what professionalism was, you know, what it looked like, you know, how to attack every day. I grew up as a man, and so that helped me. And it was like that every step of the way. Even when I went to New Balance, I got to, really learn, you know, what it is to be professional and to get up. Like, I was working a 9-to-5, you know, every day. So it was the little things throughout the whole process that really helped shape and mold me and get ready for, you know, the NBA.
Darius, let's talk about how your rookie season ended, man. You guys came within one shot of knocking the Rockets off. What lessons do you take from that game 7?
You know, I believe that, you know, we should have won that series. You know, I believe that we were, you know, the better team. You know, we had it. I mean, that was a great group of guys, you know, and I loved playing, you know, every minute on the floor with them.
Now,
you know, it sucks. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Finish up.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I mean, it sucks, man. Like, you know, I believe we should have won. But, you know, at the end of the day, I grew. We grew as a team, you know, and I grew and I learned a lot. I had a lot of first times this year, mm-hmm. you know, from injuries to starting to the whole corona, you know, playing in the bubble to my first, you know, playoff series. So I learned a lot.
I mean, look, you guys defied a lot of expectations. You know what I mean? You were the fifth seed in a Western Conference that was completely stacked. So, like, when you look at this situation, like, when did you guys start believing in yourselves?
Oh, from the jump. We before the season started, I mean, we had a meeting, and, you know, coach and everyone just kind of, you know, made it an emphasis, you know, to let everyone know that, you know, regardless of what people are talking about, you know, we're not, you know, predicted to do this, that, and the third, you know, like, we're here to win, you know, we're here to play games and win, you know, this isn't like, you know, people calling it rebuild or whatever, like, you know, we were there to win, you know, we were there to compete, and that's exactly what we did, you know, so as the season went going and, you know, we proved to ourselves, you know, not only other people, but to ourselves, you know, what it is that we could do, you know, so from the jump, we believed in ourselves and we knew exactly what we were there to do.
Yeah, right. Now, look, you guys were a balanced team. I watched you guys were fun to watch. You guys had great leadership. I had a chance to play with Chris Paul. You know, talk to me about what kind of influence did he have on you during your rookie year?
Yeah, Chris had a big influence, major impact, man. Chris, I love him, man. He's like a big brother. He taught me so much, you know, on and off the court. You know, even times where I didn't want to hear it, but, you know, that was the great thing, was because he would tell you things, you know, what you needed to hear, you know, not what you wanted to hear. And he helped me, you know, in tremendous ways, you know, with my confidence, you know, just helped me make, you know, quicker and the right decisions, you know, and like I said, off the court, you know, Chris just helped me, you know, with life. Like, he's been playing this game for 15 years. So he had a lot of knowledge and he loves to pass it on. And, you know, I was just like a sponge. I just soaked it all up.
So, Darius, what's next? What's coming up next for you? What's coming up next to this OKC Thunder team? What are the expectations moving forward?
You know, for us, we just want to be better than we were this year, you know, and win. You know, for me right now, I'm just getting better every day. You know, just keep working on the small things, keep building on good habits. You know, just working hard. And like I said, you know, we just want to be better than we were last year. I know we're a young team, but it doesn't matter. I mean, as you've seen, you know, we defied the odds, you know, everyone was against us, you know, and we did what we did. But we just want to come back and be better than we were last year. And just me as a player, you know, I just want to be better than I was last year as well.
Well, listen, young man, continue growing as a player and obviously outside the floor as well. Congratulations on blazing a trail that really no one else had done before that. So thank you so much for joining us, okay?
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
You got it. And check out Gap Year on uninterrupted.com. And, of course, good luck to Darius and the Thunder next season. Coming up, the Pacers have a new coach. What kind of expectations are they putting on Nate Bjorkgren and the Indiana Pacers next season? We'll discuss in just a moment.
The Jump is brought to you by Burger King. Mix and match your favorites for just $5.
The Big Ten season begins this weekend, and Saturday we'll have the oldest trophy game in college football history with number 21 Minnesota hosting number 18 Michigan for the Little Brown Jug, Paul Pierce, 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on ABC and the ESPN app. It's crunch time here on The Jump. Hall of Famer Charles Barkley, our boy Chuck, will be teaming up with Phil Mickelson in the third edition of The Match next month. They'll be facing future Hall of Famers Steph Curry and Peyton Manning. Chuck has guaranteed his team will win. Paul, who wins this?
I'm going with Chuck's team.
Come on.
I'm going with the underdog.
Get out of here.
I'm going with the underdog.
I love you, Charles. There's no way you're beating Steph and Peyton Manning. Jackie, what do you think?
I'm telling you what, the only person worse at guarantees than Charles Barkley is Paul Pierce. So I'm going to go the opposite of whatever Paul does.
Who is worse at guarantees, you or Chuck?
Chuck is definitely worse at guarantees than me. Definitely.
Paul Pierce guarantees that he's better at guarantees. All right, the Pacers have found their new head coach. It's Nate Bjorkgren, who won a championship two seasons ago with the Toronto Raptors. Jackie, what are your expectations for the Pacers next season?
You know what? I really like this hire, George. Nate is a little bit of a Nick Nurse clone. They both were in the G League together with the Iowa Energy. They're best friends. They both found out together they were at a Prince impersonator concert singing Purple Rain when they looked down at their text messages and saw that Kawhi Leonard was leaving them. They've been through a lot together. I expect Indiana to be very, very unorthodox. He's going to try a lot of cool things with them.
Paul, what do you think of the Pacers?
Well, yeah, when you come from a championship culture, you know, and you bring it along, they're going to be a very good team. You know, he's going to be respected because what he's done over in Toronto. And so I expect Indiana Pacers to be, you know, they don't have a true superstar.
Right.
So, you know, they're going to be in the middle of the pack. They have a lot of really good players. And I expect them to change their culture. Not that it wasn't already a good culture. They're going to be a team full of discipline. And they're still going to win a lot of games.
Yeah, they'll need some growth, right? They'll need growth from T.J. Warren. They'll need growth from Malcolm Brogdon and some of their young players, obviously.
Right.
So they've got a nice nucleus there, to your point, Paul. But the East is going to be pretty stacked moving forward. At least that playoff picture looks fairly certain, I think, barring injuries. So speaking of the East, the Cleveland Plain Dealer is reporting that Andre Drummond and the Cavaliers are, quote, far apart in negotiations for an extension. Drummond has said he'll almost certainly pick up his $28.8 million option for this season. So, Paul, do you think the Cavs trade him this offseason?
Well, if I'm the Cavs, I try to get some value out of Drummond. I mean, if you look at his game, it's outdated for today's game. You know, he's a guy who rebounds and dunks the ball, blocks some shots. But at that position, you know, you need shooting for your perimeter guys to get in the pick and roll and get to the basket. And when you see guys at his position today, they all can knock down mid-range to three-point shots.
Jackie?
So therein lies the problem, though. How do you trade a guy that makes $20.8 million who doesn't have the skill set you need in today's NBA? That's going to be a hard sell. I think Andre Drummond can be a very useful, productive player for the Cleveland Cavaliers, but I think you're going to see him play a little bit of this season out, and then maybe at the trade deadline, a team that's contending, that's looking for another piece, maybe then you can make a deal. But this is going to be a difficult contract to move.
Yeah, I agree with Jackie. I do think it's challenging, and to your point, Paul, the skill set in today's day and age is not necessarily the same. But look, he could be a missing piece for someone, and also an expiring contract, Paul, which is certainly a commodity in the NBA.
I mean, yeah, but when I look at the Lakers and I see Dwight Howard, you pay him peanuts to the dollar.
Right. Yeah.
And he can do the same things that Drummond can do, but at $28 million, like Jackie's right, it's going to be a tough trade and a tough sell.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Thanks to everyone today. Jackie Mack, you are the best. Thanks for hanging out with us today and dealing with our nonsense.
Is that what it was?
Exactly. Paul Pierce, the truth, 2008 Finals MVP. Thank you. Thank you for paying attention for the rest of the show, unlike the beginning of the show.
You know what I mean?
You were doing your best John Wall impersonation. Thanks to Nick Nurse, Darius Baisley for joining us on the show today. And, of course, our entire Jump crew. I'm George Sedano. The Jump returns tomorrow on ESPN. Have a great day.